Ryan Clark, a beat reporter for the Avs, writes at the Athletic, joins us. And Ryan, it's kind of amazing. You know, Rantanen goes down 9 games ago, then Landeskog. Oh, geez. But they managed to weather the storm. You know, they lost, I think, before the first 5. But then they lose Zadorov and Grubauer. But suddenly now they've won 3 in a row. I'll say this. They can score even without their guys. Talk about the depth of the Avs and maybe specifically Donskoy and Matt Calvert in the absence of Rantanen and Landeskog.
Well, sure. Let's start with Matt Calvert and Jonas Donskoy. So part of the reason Jared Bednar played those two with Nathan MacKinnon is because you look at what they do to win the puck, and these are two players that they fight on the half wall as well as the corners behind the net for possession. But then from there, their goal is, of course, to get the puck to Nathan MacKinnon. And what they're supposed to do is they get to the net front to create havoc, create screens, deflections, whatever. And that way, if MacKinnon throws a shot on net or with a high-low pass, the shot gets to the defense and it goes on net, you have at least two people there who are able to grab rebound. And that's exactly what you saw that line do to perfection the first time they were paired together in that 9-4 win against the Predators. But as far as this team's overall depth, I mean, look, I think nobody saw these sort of injuries coming on to the point where you're looking at this team and you're looking at guys like TJ Tynan and Jason Megna, who were just in the AHL not that long ago. But when you look at the moves Joe Sakic and his front office staff made to go out and get Malcolm Condry, Andrei Burakovsky, Jonas Donskoy, re-signing Colin Wilson, who's also been out, this was the plan, that not only was this team going to be deeper than it was last year when everyone's healthy, but when you do have an injury, it's not as crippling as it would have been this time last season.
Let's touch on Cale Makar and his play. I saw the article he wrote about the endorsement given by his mustachioed buddy, Sammy Girard. What is the ceiling for Cale Makar, in your opinion?
It's so hard to say, just because, again, you look at him and what he does, and people have had varying opinions, but the opinion seems to be he can be one of the best defensemen, if not players, in the NHL. But again, when you assess him, it comes with the caveat of he's yet to play 20 games. He has 10 playoff games. But I think that's the thing about a player like Cale Makar is everybody looks at him and sees the ability. But no one can really say for sure what he will look like. The way he's projecting like someone that you could easily say right now, is he one of the cornerstones of what this organization is trying to do in the same breath as a Landeskog, MacKinnon, a Rantanen, a Samuel Girard? Absolutely, he's certainly in that discussion, but in the sense of what he will be, I mean, it's safe to say that this is someone who's going to be a top two defenseman. From there, who knows? But right now, it looks like he might be the front runner for the Calder Trophy. And in a few years' time, maybe his name is in Norris discussion. But right now, the thought seems to be the sky's the limit.
Ryan Clark joins us. Ryan, Nathan MacKinnon, of course, is a world-class player. There's no question about it. Without Rantanen and Landeskog, he's still rolling. But what about the matchup tonight? Do you see that line? Or we know Nazem Kadri loves it. They are on the road. Kadri with Nikushkin and Compher. Is that a line that you think they're confident to roll out against McDavid and then the league's leading scorer in Draisaitl?
It's possible, but here's the other thing about all this. The component that is kind of up in the air is Pierre-Edward Bellemare, and he's a game-time decision. So if he's healthy, you at least have a couple centers in Kadri and Bellemare who love playing in that position as a more of a two-way center, and Bellemare's case, more of a defensive center who can be matched up with these top lines. And so if this team was healthy, you would see Bellemare, Matt Calvert, and Matt Nieto out there every time the McDavid line, or at least most times the McDavid line was out there, because that's what they want. But the thing is, Bednar appears like he could have options. He could go with that first line, just because you have seen Nathan MacKinnon play a more defensively responsible game this season. But you're pairing him with Calvert and Donskoy, and what they do really well is they're very good on the defensive end. They're very sound in terms of knowing Jared Bednar's system and what's expected. But that being said, you could see the Nazem Kadri and JT Compher line do the same thing, because those are both two-way players. Compher is someone that plays on the penalty kill, and Nazem Kadri, everybody knows about what he can do defensively. But if you see Pierre-Edward Bellemare play to this evening, that gives them, again, potentially three lines that they feel they could possibly trust in those situations. But again, we will know more once pregame rush begins.
We got Ryan Clark on the line, the Athletics Avalanche reporter. The Oilers take on the Mighty Avs tonight. We'll have the pregame show here. Get you tuned up with that with our good man, Tom Guzzola. Ryan Nikushkin, when I look at his stat line, it looks like he hasn't produced, he hasn't produced offensively. But where is his game at actually away from the scoring the points?
You know, it's interesting because you talk about the offensive production and he's been able to get in the right places. It's just for one reason or the other, he just can't score. Whether it be he doesn't get enough elevation on the puck, whether it's the shots are off, the timing, something. But he's getting in the right position. But the thing is he's getting in position and he's doing the things that the Avalanche are asking to, you know, justify him playing on the ice. But not only that, but he does give this team size at 6'4", around 210 pounds. There are times he uses it. There are times where, again, he uses it in a way that allows him to be effective, whether that's getting to the net or in a defensive capability. So, I mean, he's been productive in the sense of he hasn't really been calamitous. I mean, he's been trusted to play sometimes in some special team situations. But really, the thought has been if Nichushkin could capitalize just even on 25% of his chances, it would make that signing look even stronger. But again, he's getting in position. It's a matter of executing.
When you look at the back end, you know, I think that Makar is obviously a fine player, Eric Johnson. But Girard, does Sammy Girard get overlooked in this roster with just his offensive abilities?
Not for people in Denver, God, no. I mean, he's talked about quite a bit. Now, league-wide, I think that's kind of the $20 million question. But for anybody who kind of watches and follows this team, there's an appreciation of what Samuel Girard does. Because, for one, he operates the second-team power play unit. Along with Eric Johnson, he has been this team's first-team defensive pairing for, you know, about 2 to 3 seasons now. And then as we saw in the playoffs last year, when you pair him with Cale Makar, you have two quick puck-moving defensemen who can just do a bunch of different things. And there are times when Jared Bednar is seeking, you know, more of an attack-minded presence, he will pair them together for a couple shifts throughout games. So it's something that we could potentially see tonight if he feels, you know, the offense isn't going the way he would like for it to go. But the thing with Samuel Girard is this. I mean, you're talking about someone who's still 21 years old, has played nearly 170 NHL games. He plays in a series of valuable positions. I mean, sure, maybe nationally he might get overlooked, but in the sense of the role he plays on this team, I mean, you go down the roster to everyone and they'll tell you he's one of the most important players this roster and this franchise has.
Ryan Clark joining us. Ryan, so tonight, you know, Belmar might play or not. We do know that who's not playing. They're down to their third-string goaltender. So Werner comes in. He was outstanding, right? Comes off the bench 31 seconds into the game. Now, I don't know if that's the quickest a guy has had to come in off the, in a shutout. I wonder if that's an NHL record for quick, like most time spent in a game coming off the bench, because it's rare that a goalie gets hurt 31 seconds into a game and then the guy pitches a shutout in his first NHL game. What do you know about Werner? Like, is this just one of those everything is firing, or is this guy supposed to be really good?
Here's the thing. Adam Werner, there was a little bit of a question mark in the sense of what he would be coming into this season, just because when you think about what he's done, he spent most of his career in Sweden developing. I mean, he comes over to the San Antonio Rampage in 2017-18 before their AHL team, before they got a new AHL team that's now in Loveland, Colorado, about 55 miles away from Denver. And last year with Farstad in the SHL, I mean, he was a guy who was extremely successful, a goals against average of 2.02, a save percentage of 0.926. But again, with any player who does well, whether it's in Sweden, Finland, Russia, it's a matter of how it translates to North America, because again, it's a different game with the ice sheet as well. It's just the speed, the positioning, you name it. And so far in the AHL, I mean, he's played 9 games, a 2.88 goals against average, a 0.908 save percentage. But to speak with Kevin Connaughton this morning, who Connaughton has been in the AHL where he's played with Werner, he was just saying what Werner did in Winnipeg has kind of been an example of what he's done all season, which is he uses the 6'4 frame to not only take up space, but he's also really quick with for someone who has that kind of sort of size. And so that's just it. It's just, the thing is going to be what really happens sort of going forward into tonight, because again, that's the question everyone is asking is, yes, he had a great game, but what's he going to do, you know, tonight against the Oilers? And then if it's a situation where, sorry for the loud noise, I'm already at Rogers Place where they're barely doing mic checks. So there you go. But as we were saying, though, one of the things to consider is just what happens with him going forward. Because right now, Philip Grubauer did practice with the team this morning, but again, he's not playing. And Pavel Francouz, right now, it just seems like he's going to be out for an extended period. No one said when. So to see what Adam Warner does tonight is going to be really important, not only just for the short-term future, but the long-term future as well. Because just to give you this insight, and I'll be quiet, the Avalanche has been a team that has struggled to really develop a goaltender that they drafted. In fact, the goaltender who has played the most games that the Avalanche have drafted since 2010 is Calvin Pekarz. Other than that, they've not really had a high success rate. And when you look at what they're trying to do right now with guys like Justus Enunen and Adam Werner, what he does in this NHL stint will really give this organization more information.
Ryan, we appreciate that. We'll see you down at the rink. Thanks for your time.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.